Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alrighty, hour number two, Teak and Tierney coming from the Teak and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you as well. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Love the NBA, pumped that it's back. So many great storylines. Let's get into some of the stuff here on the show. Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Whether it's AD and LeBron, eventually Paul George and Kawhi, whether it's Russ and Harden, whether it's Doncic and KP, whether it's Kyrie and the Nets, whether it's Horford with the Sixers, whether it's Greek Freak, what's he at? You know, where's he at as a player trying to get another MVP and the Bucks trying to win a championship? There's a lot of great storylines around the league this year. Before we get to the MJ stuff, I think for me, I don't know if you agree with this, I think for me, what I'm most interested in seeing, I want to see Steph Curry. I want to see Steph Curry try to keep the Warriors afloat. Because if there, this actually ties into some of the comments by MJ, even though he didn't specifically address this, talked about his Hall of Fame candidacy, but which of course he's in. I mean, but LeBron, you know, you've always had, you know, you've had the shooters, you've had other guys to help you out, and there's no Clay, and there's no Kevin Durant, and you know, Draymond obviously is the heartbeat of that team, but in terms of just sheer skill, night to night, you know, proficiency, he's not really that guy. He's a dog, but he's not an incredibly great player. I think the stage for Steph Curry to really silence detractors, if there are any, and there are some wondering how great he really is by himself or with this model, I think that's so fascinating.
Yeah, well, not only that, BT, and we now hear Steve Kerr saying that Klay Thompson likely is not going to play at all.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
I don't either. Like, his timeline makes sense. He basically, if you missed it, said an ACL is a year injury, year from return. It happened in June. So 9 months, when they're saying he could be back, would be like April, when a lot of people speculated he could recover. But that's 9 months. That's still 3 months short of, you know, the traditional year that it takes to recover. So they're not planning on it. But, I mean, I got to believe medicine is so different these days, and rehab is very different than it used to be. He referenced himself tearing an ACL, but when Steve Kerr tore an ACL, it was 1990, whatever it is. I don't know what year it was, but it was in the 90s.
Could have been the 80s, actually.
Could have been.
I think he did it. Did he do it at Arizona? Anyway, yeah, point taken. It was a while ago.
So I don't necessarily believe that, but let's just say that that is the case. Other than Draymond, this team is young as hell, too. Right, there's no one that you lean on that says that you say, man, you got 5, 6, 7 years. You've seen it all. You've seen enough. You've been in the postseason enough. You can't point to any of that. D'Angelo Russell is a good player, but he hasn't played in a meaningful game yet. Right, Willie Cauley-Stein's the same way, and so there's just Kevin Looney's probably your best bet, only because he was on the team last year and had to pick up a lot of the slack. But the fact that he's going to have to be that on-court leader, and not just the emotional guy like Draymond is, but that guy is fascinating to watch. I agree with you.
By the way, Mike just checked. It was 86. It was when he was still at Arizona. I thought I remember him getting
even
hurt
even more so.
Yeah,
even,
no,
even,
I,
even
I got more you. So. The war, you know, he's going to have the ability to just let it go whenever. I mean, he's got that green light anyway, but without having to occasionally defer, or if defer is not the right word, make sure you feed a hot Kevin Durant and a hot Klay Thompson. The chance for him to really, you know, have some 50-point explosions are there. By the way, Teak and I tomorrow will unveil our entire NBA. We do it, you know, all the sports. You know how we do it. Every predicted order of division and all the championship, the awards, all that stuff. All right, so Michael Jordan, right? Michael Jordan, the question is with us. I don't really need to set this up too much, but this was on NBC Today with Craig Melvin, MJ, talking about who we would want to run with. Go ahead, guys.
Someone asked you if you could pick four guys for your pickup team. Hakeem Olajuwon, Magic Johnson, Scottie Pippen, and James Worthy. That was 6 years ago. Lots happened in the league in 6 years. Would you keep the same four?
In a heartbeat. When I'm going in the trenches, I played against and with all these guys. I'm going with who I know.
So Steph Curry shouldn't be offended when he watches this.
I hope not. He's still a great player. Not a Hall of Famer yet, though. He's not.
Yeah, and then Magic Johnson tweeted out, you know, obviously you can imagine with that comment, MJ was getting crushed on social media. Magic said, because he's an owner, he's not allowed to necessarily weigh in on that. Well, I don't know if that's right or wrong. I think MJ was just, you know, having a little fun there. Clearly, he's a Hall of Famer. So we don't need to waste time on that. I like the way the question was framed. Mm-hmm. I thought it was framed well. Hey, you said this 6 years ago. Lots changed in the 6 years. The game's changed. The spacing changed. Components of the league have changed. Worthy never hit a three. I mean, it was like a buzzer beater. Pippen wasn't a good three-point shooter. Really, the only time Magic hit threes was in the All-Star game, which was magical.
But they also played better defense.
Not Magic. Magic wasn't
Magic did, he was horrendous. Everybody else that they're talking about, they were really good defenders.
Yeah.
So maybe we're not racing to 140. You know what I mean? So you don't have to shoot the three-pointer. You play a little bit differently, even though James Worthy and Scottie Pippen, they're significantly farther away from the rim and defending an opponent as opposed to, you know, then.
Mm-hmm.
When it was then, you're right up. I mean, it's easier.
Oh, Worthy was right? Worthy no would space. Adjust. Worthy would adjust. He had quick feet. Worthy would adjust.
True.
Worthy would adjust to the modern NBA. So would Hakeem. Pippen would be a better shooter. I don't know Magic, just gangly. He wasn't, I mean, he was quick, but he wasn't, I don't know. His gears were different than somebody that you would associate with being just quick twitch and fast.
Yeah, but for Magic, it's more just being creative. Right? Magic was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, he would just create ways to get you the basketball, which hadn't, I mean, now it's replicated, but back then it wasn't. So could he evolve into today's game? Probably.
But think about this. Back then, for whatever reason, coaches didn't switch. It was like if you were playing, I'm trying to think of it, if you played the Dallas Mavericks back then, Derek Harper, their point guard, is playing defense on Magic.
Yeah.
Like now, you'd roll these small forward because Magic's 6'9". You would throw different looks at him, vary the looks. So, I don't know, would Magic have that space to operate, that freedom to pass over? You know, Derek Harper is 6'3", you know, Magic 6'9".
Would he learn how to shoot?
Yeah,
also,
he'd have to, because he'd be growing up with a different basketball template, and his basketball IQ was such that he would work on the weakness and make the weakness a strength, which he started to do really at the end of his career before he retired because of the HIV virus in 1991. I'm a little surprised. Well, I'm not surprised because he's a UNC guy, and Worthy was great. So I could see why MJ would take Worthy. But based on the shooting prowess, how do you not insert Bird there? I'm a little surprised MJ didn't go with Bird.
Honestly, because I doubt he thought about this, right? Maybe he was. I doubt Craig Melvin gave him the, you know, this is what I'm going to ask you.
No. He said this 6 years ago.
Oh, I know. I'm talking about now. I'm talking about.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Go ahead.
You said this 6 years ago. Michael Jordan's, you know, not thinking that he's going to have to re-answer a question that he asked that was asked him 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, surprisingly, 6 years ago, the three-point shot was, it was starting. It was coming.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he wasn't at the forefront of it. Maybe he wasn't, like, championing in it like some of these other teams were.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about with his team, with the Hornets, like the Warriors clearly were 6 years ago. So maybe it wasn't on the top of his mind when he was asked his question. And Larry Bird would have made obvious sense. But I feel like in the moment, that's a hard question to answer in the moment. Because think of all of the really good, if not great, players that he played with, that were his peers, that he has more respect for than really anybody else that came after because he played with them and against them.
It's common sense, sure.
And then, you know, layering in, you know, the James Hardens and the, you know, the Russell Westbrooks and the Anthony Davises, like all these other great players. And you kind of think you understand them, but you can't really.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, you know, he came out and said, you know, I'm not allowed to talk about Steph. Is he even allowed to say, would he get fined for tampering if he had said, I would love Anthony Davis. I would love to play.
That's a good question.
You know what I mean?
That's a good question.
Because he's an owner.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Now Anthony Davis all of a sudden is like, well, MJ loves me. He's not coming.
No, I know what you're saying.
He's not coming to the East Coast. It's not really tampering, but couldn't it be interpreted as tampering?
If they were going to letter of the law, sure.
Didn't Doc Rivers get clipped for that?
They could flex on that.
Was it Doc Rivers? I think it was Doc Rivers. I think it was Doc who was talking about Clay or whoever it was he was talking about, and he got fined for basically saying, yeah, he's a great player. Or Kawhi. No, Kawhi. You got fined for talking about Kawhi. Yeah, Kawhi's a great player.
Such a petty rule.
It's just a stupid rule. But isn't Magic, isn't Michael kind of in danger of crossing that line?
I don't think he was thinking of that. I think we might be giving him a little bit too much credit.
Giving him too much credit, but I'm saying, wouldn't he have been?
He might have been. I'm not saying that he wouldn't have been.
Like
he might
open
have been.
To discipline.
Yeah, he might have been.
It's funny.
He might have been. And I feel, you know, I tell you, because who's the one guy that I always say is maybe the most underrated player in history? Hakeem.
Yeah.
So when MJ throws Hakeem on the list there, that makes me feel pretty good about my choice and my defense of Hakeem. So if we were to construct a team today, and here's the other thing. You know, what rules are we playing by? Mm. I'd like to see a bit of a hybrid where you can be physical.
You can hand check still.
Yeah. Not as physical as the 90s. Yeah. Not as loose as today. The three-point shot, not as, you know, intertwined within the sport, but obviously not a relic philosophy, somewhere in between. I mean, you obviously have to start LeBron. You're looking at LeBron. You probably want Steph on the team as a shooter. I mean, if it's me, I wouldn't want Harden on this team. I mean, I just, you know where I stand on Harden.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that. I might even go back a couple of years, look at Dirk, a big shooter.
It's too many players for five.
Right or wrong answer, but I mean, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I keep looking at these names. MJ, Magic, Pippen.
Now, the question was,
Hakeem.
Who's your big man? What big man are you going with? You going with a Shaq? Are you going with a Kareem? Are you going with Hakeem? Like, you got to think.
Can he play for two teams? Because I would take Hakeem.
Yeah.
You know that. Yeah. I mean, or even Kareem. I wouldn't take Shaq. I love Shaq, but I think he's a little bit, not. I don't want to say overrated. He's placed a little higher. You know, some people have him in the top 10. I think that's ridiculous. I think Tim Duncan was a better all-around player for a long time. So I might even go Duncan. You know, but Duncan's not shooting anything from outside. He's going those 15-footers off the window.
But you also have to think about what today's five look like. Hell, KD played the five half the time.
Kevin Durant. How did I forget Kevin Durant? Right? You got to have LeBron. You got to have a healthy KD. You got to have Steph. He's selfless. He's a shooter.
You almost end up doing a modern team because the game has evolved and the guys that play now can do everything that those guys used to do, but more. Like, how do you not put Kawhi?
Well, I don't know any big men that have the footwork of Hakeem in the post.
Well,
that they can't do.
Hakeem might last. Hakeem might have staying
power.
Nobody's
replicating that.
And so Kawhi and Hakeem.
Yeah. Kawhi for defense.
You're right.
And we'll throw Hakeem. We'll throw a little old school love there.
A little old school.
Man, MJ. God, he was so good. I would have loved to have seen him play today. Man, I wish somebody's going to come up with some invention where we could actually do this sometime.
Do a simulated
game. Not a video game either. I'd love to see him play today. I mean, you know, if MJ stepped on a court with the killer attitude that he had, and why would it change? And he had the freedom to attack the rim knowing he's going to the line 13, 14 times, and he's not going to be thrown on his behind like the Pistons would do, or the Knicks would do, or other teams would do. The guy would average 40 points a game.
Easy.
They really would. He'd average 40. They would. 1-855-212-4227 here. You want to jump in on the conversation? A little hoops. The season begins tomorrow night. We could talk basketball. You know, listen, I brought up the Steph angle. I think it's really intriguing to see where Steph is without the components that he's had the luxury of playing with the last couple of years. I think it's a different professional challenge. It's a different physical exertion. To me, that's the most interesting thing. Maybe for you it is some of the more obvious stuff, which is great as well. The AD LeBron stuff, the Kawhi Paul George stuff, the Russ Harden stuff. Is that, I think, one under the radar, you know, pairing and situation. It's Dallas. You know, I'll tell you right now, I already did it. Dallas is a playoff team for me.
Yeah, I think so as well.
I already put them on. We're going to do our picks.
As long as they're healthy, and right now they are. There's two really good players
that are
headlining that team right now.
All right. Most compelling storylines coming into the NBA season. What are you looking forward to the most? We'll get some calls. 1-855-212-4227. Talk some hoops, which is always good by us. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. So, the NBA tonight, World Series tonight, Week 8 coming up on Thursday. We are pretty deeply immersed in the sporting world here. Everything's going on. Hockey, obviously, is going on. So, one of those few times of the year where pretty much everything's happening. By the way, if you've ever missed, if you want to go back and check out some interviews, some old takes, whatever it might be, find all the podcasts on radio.com or the radio.com app, plus cbssportsradio.com. iTunes, or really just about anywhere you can get a podcast, download and subscribe today. Always stay in tune and in touch with Tiki and Tierney. So MJ's got his crew. You know, I was really thinking about the Curry, the pardon me, the Steve Kerr comments that you brought up during the break. You know, to me, first of all, I definitely think he's going to come back and play this year, barring a setback, clearly. I just think Steve Kerr is doing the smart thing. Just punt. Hey, listen, I've already established my position, guys.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to deal with this every single month. I don't want to give you constant updates. I don't want to be badgered about this. I got to focus on the guys who are playing. Here's our take organizationally. We don't expect him back, and if that changes, we'll let you know.
Yeah, and especially if they get off to a somewhat slow start because Steph Curry now has more on his plate than he has the last couple of seasons. It's going to be a desperation type, I don't know, media circus there. Like, oh, when's Clay coming back? When's Clay coming back? I told you, he's not coming back this year. We gotta deal with what we got.
That's right. Roll up your sleeves.
That's right.
Do you think there's a chance that Steph Curry's legacy can be a little tarnished this season?
I don't think so. I think what he's meant to the NBA, obviously what he's meant to the Golden State Warriors, but what he's meant to the NBA is pretty solid. I mean, he'd have to, I can't even imagine if he had three like really bad seasons that it would make people forget how great he is or was.
I don't mean forget it. I mean, I know, maybe reposition how they feel and what they view him to be. Like, let's say if they win 43 games this year,
yeah,
and they're the 8th seed or they're the 9th seed. Let's say they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, but who else has been put in situations like that? A former star, former champion that goes to a place that doesn't have the support staff or in place and it just leaves them and they're not irrelevant, but just like you're not talking about them. I think the best example, honestly, is Dirk with Dallas. Right, they reached the height, and then, you know, for the next few years, it was Mark Cuban talking about, yeah, we're tanking, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't think Dirk's reputation.
But Dirk was older, and after they won their championship, they were still very relevant.
True,
very.
But Steph is 31?
Yeah.
He's 31 years old. I mean, it's not like he's young.
No, he's 31.
He's 31, and if, like, for the next 4 years at 34, they underperform and don't make the postseason or whatever it is, and I don't think that'll be the case at all, but let's say it is, I think he'd go out still with us having reverence for him.
Yeah, well, listen, I asked the question. My answer to the question is a little layered, a little different than from what Tiki said. I do think that in the context of history, in the context of changing the game, his fingerprints are all over the game of basketball. Globally, I mean, every aspect of every level, Steph Curry's influence will be forever felt.
Yep.
And that doesn't go away with, you know, one 43-win season and, you know, or a quick playoff exit, whatever it might be. But I do think there are some people who view Steph Curry as like a top 10 or a top 11 or top 12 all-time great. I don't view him that way myself, and I've got profound respect for him, but I don't put him anywhere near that stratosphere yet. And now he gets a chance to go out there and carry a team.
Yeah.
And if he falls on his face, he's not 36, he's 31, right around the same age as James Harden, you know, a bunch of years younger than LeBron. I know LeBron's got AD, I get that. But if he falls on his face and the Warriors are completely playoff irrelevant, and his shooting percentage really falls because he's carrying a load that he's never had to carry, and there's a precipitous drop statistically across the board, I think he'll lose a little respect in the court of public. Not respect's not the right word. He will drop. His legacy will get a little scuff mark on it, and then the onus will be on him to change that because you have to factor in this as well. He has not played very well in the NBA Finals.
True.
Everybody who watches basketball knows.
Yeah, he hasn't. Doesn't have an MVP Finals.
And he hasn't shot well, which is his calling card.
True, but I mean, I wonder if guys worry about their legacies.
That's totally different from what I'm saying. I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, what I'm asking. You know what I mean? Like, I think that he could be quite now, conversely, he can elevate it this year.
True.
To be fair to him.
He can't really control it. All he can do is control what's happening right in front of him, and he's going to be given a lot to do this year. We know that. And
more than he's ever had to do.
Probably. Yeah, probably. Because because earlier in his career when he was, you know, revolutionizing the three-point, you know, shooting numbers, like, he didn't play defense. It wasn't asked of him.
And he had Clay.
And it just wasn't – Draymond was young, and he was, like, the aggressor. Like, he wasn't mature enough to handle all that responsibility. Now he's mature and can handle all that responsibility of being the guy. They kind of did it collectively. Now he's doing it. Now he's going to be asked to do it a lot on his own, obviously in conjunction with Draymond because he's still there. But I don't think he can. He can't help it. The only thing he could do is go be as good as he can be and worry and let all the other stuff figure itself out.
Well, I think you help it by impacting the bottom line. The way you help it is to make sure you don't go 41
yeah, but if
and 41.
But if he's not good enough and they're not
but
good
enough.
But
that's the whole root of my question.
True, but if
is he good enough to elevate a franchise by himself? I honestly don't know the answer to that.
But who is?
I mean, Michael Jordan did it before. I mean, before
yeah,
Pippen really popped. A lot of guys have done it. I
don't know. I mean,
He's got D'Angelo Russell, who was an all-star last year. He's not playing with the Knicks.
True.
Or the Cavaliers. True. Or nothing.
True. Well, we'll see. We'll see how D'Angelo Russell plays. I just don't see D'Angelo Russell as a good, I don't know, whatever.
Well,
substitute.
He's not efficient. He's definitely not an efficient
player.
Not
only is he not efficient, he's not defending anybody. You know, he's not a good substitute for what Klay Thompson brings. And a lot of people will say, well, they can get some scoring from D'Angelo Russell. Sure. Mm-hmm. But is he stopping?
No.
Nobody
does what Klay does.
Like, that's what I mean.
Except maybe Kawhi.
Exactly.
But Klay's a better shooter.
I think you're right.
No, that's gone, that aspect of the team.
So it's almost like out of his control what he can even with all-star level teammates, what he can do.
You know what they might have to do? I don't think they'll do this, but they might really have to slow down the tempo here because if their issue is going to be stopping people, the more looks you give an opposing offense, the more times they're going to score if your defense is porous. So the sensible thing might be, now it's counterintuitive to how they play, how they want to play,
yeah,
and how they have played, but maybe you shave off 6, 7, 8 possessions each game and you milk. I'm not saying you go four quarters like it's 1951.
The problem with that,
yeah,
the problem with that is that you then have to be, you can't have an off night. You know, you can't, like, shoot 31% from three-point range.
Oh, he's going to have a lot of those nights.
I know, but you can't if you're slowing down because it's all about possessions, right? And it's all about, you know, points per 75 or whatever it is these days. It used to be 100. Now I think it's 75 possessions. But, like, whatever it is, you can't have an off day if you expect to win.
Yeah, I think that it largely was ignored. And to be fair, I would roll my eyes a few times. I don't know, maybe I'd bring it to the show, but it wasn't a central thought because it was masked by what was around him. But I definitely had this thought a few times, more so the last 2 years, and really last year. Like, some of the shots he takes are absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, I know.
They're horrendous,
but
man.
But you forgive them because sometimes they'll go down.
Well, for sure. But you also forgive them because you might forget about the bad shot because Kevin Durant had 38 points and that bad shot is immaterial to the outcome.
That's right.
Or Klay Thompson might drop 40 and because, you know, Steph Curry took 7 shots that you might not even try in the game of horse, you don't go back to it because it doesn't matter because they won.
Yeah.
If they're losing with more frequency, and let's face it, they're going to, and he's still shooting those shots,
yeah,
he's going to get criticized like he's never been criticized before.
I think he's smart enough not to do that, especially if they espouse what you're saying, which is slow the pace down. Because when you have 10 or 12 extra possessions, you can waste a shot.
Sure.
But if you don't, then you've got to be more judicious.
Looking forward to seeing how they play stylistically. Do you agree with that? I am very curious the national perception of Steph Curry. I think it's, I don't want to say it's a prove-it year. That sounds crazy for a multi-time champion, somebody who helped redefine how we play basketball, how we consume basketball, what we expect out of basketball. But I'm going to stand by that. I believe that he's going to get probed and cut open in terms of dissected like a lab rat. Like he's never been dissected as a pro. And he's going to have to deal with that, and he's never had to deal with that before. Now, I trust that he'll deal with it well because I trust his professionalism and I trust his talent. But I don't know. I don't think I'm swimming on an island by myself with this. I think there's a lot of people who are curious to get maybe more of an accurate reading. Who exactly is Steph Curry? Can he elevate a team by himself? You know where I stand. 1-855-212-4227. Axe update is right now. Rich Ackerman, a little baseball, the World Series. How's the weather tonight going to be? Oh, that's right. It's in Houston.
It's indoors.
Weather's going to be okay. It's going to be hot, but it's going to be indoors. It's not going to matter.
It's not here.
Hey, Scherz is on a roll, though. He is on a nice roll.
Both of them are.
Do you think, because we said this with Tanaka, you and I said this, like, oh, the Yankees have to win game one with Tanaka. Not that it really mattered because they didn't. They didn't win the series. Do you think the Nats have to win tonight?
No.
They got to be a little rusty.
It helps. But I don't think it's a must win, so to speak.
Okay. All right. Let's get the update from Acura. Rich Ackerman, everybody. All right. It was only a matter of time. There's reports out there. Jim Harbaugh's people already throwing a line in the water, doing a little fishing, seeing which NFL teams might be interested in trying to lure the former NFL and current Michigan Wolverines head coach back to the NFL. Tiki and I'll get to that top of the hour. 20 minutes or so, Tiki and Tierney. Hey, Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader. Start with the Colts battling the Broncos or Kyler's Cardinals taking on the Saints. And we'll see if Drew Brees plays in that game. He could. Followed by the Browns and the Pats going toe-to-toe in Foxborough. It all starts with the NFL today. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So that Harbaugh stuff, we'll get into that in around 20 minutes or so. Not a surprise. Maybe they're just doing their due diligence. Don't know about the buyout. Don't know where his heart's at in terms of Michigan. Don't know, quite frankly, the NFL still views Jim Harbaugh to be the asset he was before he went back to college.
Now, that's a difficult one to guess.
You know?
There was a lot of coaches, a lot of organizations that wanted him. Like,
oh, yeah.
Desired him.
The Browns.
The Dolphins.
The Jets wanted to meet with him. The Dolphins wanted him, for sure.
So, but it's been... been a couple of years now.
Uh-huh.
Ultimately, will be four. And I mean, he's had success up at Michigan, but not the ultimate success. And I don't know, the narrative is changing a little bit about him.
Oh,
so,
sure. Yeah, the league has changed. The NFL,
the league has definitely changed.
Schemes.
But I wonder if that benefits him. So let's not forget, you know, just to tie some knots to what's happening right now in the National Football League. One of the more interesting, if not hottest, quarterbacks is Lamar Jackson,
mm-hmm.
who's in the conversation for MVP, even though he's probably not going to ultimately get there. But he's played fantastic, and as has the Ravens at 5-2. His coordinator is Greg Roman, who was the coordinator for Jim Harbaugh mm-hmm. when Jim Harbaugh was head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, Kaepernick got him to the National Football, got him to the Super Bowl. So.
That's right.
There's a tie.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes sense, yeah. Especially with quarterbacks coming out of college football with that skill set that Harbaugh and Greg Roman used with Cap to get to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're seeing it with Lamar a little bit. You're seeing it with Kyler Murray a little bit out in Arizona. I mean, some NFL teams might be, you know, itching to take a different path on quarterbacking and trying to find success in the league. So
we get back to this here. There's obviously a lot of meat on the bone, 5 Eastern. So now about 18 minutes from now, Tiki and I will really dive deeply into the Jim Harbaugh stuff. There is a report out there that as people are reaching out and seeing if there's any teams that want to hire Jim Harbaugh. Bob Costas next hour as well, legend of the broadcasting business. Talk a little baseball, a little World Series for you. How long, because we saw LeBron go through this with Miami. I think they were 9-8 first mm-hmm. year with Spoelstra. I think they started 9-8 with the first 17. You assemble a superpower team and Anthony Davis now in the mix and obviously some moving parts and a new coach and a new system and a new conference with the Clippers are obviously very different. Some other teams are pretty good too. How long do you think, what kind of a grace period does LeBron get before people start chirping if they don't start winning some games early?
Probably a third of the year. Think about all the moving parts here. Right? You're injured. They're already injured, right, coming into the season with Boogie, who's down, and you know they had to remake their roster a little bit. It was a point where it was like, oh, you got 3 guys on your roster right now, and that's it. Figure it out. Kyle Kuzma, who's supposed to be counted on. He's likely heading into the season injured.
Yep, not playing tonight.
So, you know, Rondo is there. He's a vet. But what's Rondo giving you, especially if you're moving him somewhat off of the ball? Because LeBron is essentially, I'm putting in quotes, your point guard, as we saw a little bit in the preseason. He's got to still figure out how to work with Anthony Davis. I mean, there's so many moving parts with this team. I think they're going to get at least a third of a season of grace. Now, the reason why you would argue against that is because the Western Conference, really all of the NBA, is kind of up for grabs, right? It's I don't know how Kawhi Leonard's going to look in Clippers uniform,
mm-hmm.
Especially without Paul George for a few weeks. I have no idea what the Golden State Warriors are going to look like. We just talked about it.
Portland, Denver.
Right? Everybody's new and different.
Denver's good.
Right?
Denver's good.
The Trailblazers are, you know, they got two really good, you know, guards, but Hassan Whiteside is now there. Is that mm-hmm. good or is that bad for them? Like, it's there's so many moving parts. I think it's going to take at least a third of the season before we know what the hell we're comparing him to.
Well, that's a rational way to look at it, but I don't think fans will be rational when it comes to LeBron. I can't imagine that they're going to wait right in the neighborhood of, what, 28 to 29 games before they start. If they're like third, which they actually, I think they'll be a lot better. But if they're 13 and if they're 15 and 13,
if their schedule looks
you don't think
like.
Fans will be chirping? I do. It's a lot of basketball.
I think if the longs are above
five. They're chirping after 17 with Miami.
The thing that would make me question this Lakers team, and it's not just LeBron, it's the team that you have to look at, is if Anthony Davis is hurt again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if these best laid plans to have LeBron play the point guard after, you know, a week, it's like, oh, we can't do this. We can't. No, sorry, LeBron. Put the ball in Rondo's hand, and Rondo's now your playmaker. Right? That's when I would start to be concerned about this team, because look, they're young in some places, but they're also very old in others. Even Danny Green
picked him up.
Yep, he's going into his 11th season. So there's a bunch of good players, but in the role category, not in the potential budding superstar category.
Let's hear from LeBron as he talked about getting ready to pair up with a superstar like Anthony Davis. Here he is.
You know that you don't have to put the most stress on your body physically, mentally, every single night. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to bring it the same way you brought it before, but you also know that you have guys that can be in the foxhole with you that's ready and prepared to, you know, go out and perform. And perform at a high level every night. So it definitely helps.
It's a little nitpick here. It really is. But, yeah, you know, and I generally side on if there's something to find with LeBron that annoys me, I have no problem pointing it out, you know. And not just the China stuff. I'm a little hypocritical, a little bit too much about LeBron James. You know where I stand if you've been with the show for a long time. Great player, great person in terms of what he does. But gets on my nerves a little bit. Having said that, you know, what – great play. Like, the first thing, talk about stress. it alleviates stress off my body. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I mean, who?
Yeah, what are you talking
who
about?
Who says that?
Who are you talking to?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, I don't know. Earl Monroe said that when he went with Clyde Frazier. I don't think Mikhail said that about Parrish. I don't think MJ said that about Pitt, but I don't think the Pitt bad boys said that. They just don't say that.
Yeah. Do we know what their starting five is going to be tonight? Did they release it? I don't know if they've released it. I'm sure it's good. It's obviously LeBron and AD.
Dwight. Dwight Howard.
Right.
Danny Green's going to start if
Danny
he's healthy.
Danny Green and Rondo, right?
Yeah, so, I would think so.
Yeah, I mean, but think about that starting five.
Yeah, but at least Rondo's. You see, if Rondo was one of those, if Rondo was like Kyrie in terms of talent, which he's nowhere near, but also in terms of wanting to shoot, I think their development would be retarded because he's looking for his as well.
Yeah.
The good thing about, you know, even though Rondo has great limitations shooting the ball and he usually gets hurt, at least early on, I think he'll be a gel, like a reinforcing gel to get guys in the right spots. Danny Green coming off the screen, boom, pass it right on his hip. Do your thing. Just keep shooting like you did in San Antonio. AD, foul line extended. Mm-hmm. We're going to run. Well, he's going to get the guys in the right play. I think early on, he's going to be very important.
Rondo.
Yeah.
But even if LeBron's bringing the ball up the court, the majority of the time.
I mean, then why is Rondo on the team?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking this question. And in the preseason, LeBron looked really good.
He did.
But it was the preseason. He was finding guys. He was going down in a lane, like not paying attention to what was going on, and he's just kicking at the last moment.
The one pass lefty over his back.
Yeah, that one was different. But that was obviously the tip of the iceberg. But there was, I mean, it was just, that was the, probably what's the opposite of the tip of the iceberg, whatever that was, because that was the coup de grace of that one. But like, you saw it all preseason, him just throwing down behind his back across the court, non-look. I mean, he looked amazing.
What about this here, guys? Let's go with AD on the chemistry with LeBron as that will continue to build.
The more and more we get a chance to play alongside each other, the better we're going to be, and it starts tomorrow. So, man, we had a great preseason. You know, saw some good things, saw some things we need to work on, and, you know, we corrected all those things and we put it to the test tomorrow night.
And that was obviously at shoot-around yesterday, referencing today.
Sanford gave me the projected Avery Bradley. I forgot Avery Bradley was on the squad.
Yeah.
Avery Bradley and JaVale McGee above Dwight Howard starting. Uh-huh. So we'll see. Dwight's 15 years in, man.
I understand.
So he looks leaner. He looks the part. He's
saying, never been out of shape.
I know, but he's saying, but he looks like jacked right now.
Yeah.
Saying all the right things. I want to reinvent myself. He's not reinventing himself.
Was he going to shoot threes down?
It's what he said.
To me, that's what he said about shooting threes?
That's what he said he wanted to do.
Then Dwight's got to take his game to a court down in, you know, somewhere in Hollywood and play. He's not going to do that with the Lakers.
No, I don't think so.
Shooting threes? Can you imagine that circus?
No.
I don't see him making it through the season. I mean, I'd like to see it for him. He's been through a lot, and I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's a little misunderstood. He's not as passionate. He's not a killer, excuse me, like Kobe. And I think that's where his career really got derailed early on with the Lakers. I just think Dwight Howard's kind of a happy-go-lucky big man who...
Brooke Lopez.
Breaking down.
Reinvented himself as a three-point shooter.
Brooke Lopez did, but Brooke Lopez was certainly much more of a consistent free-throw shooter.
That's
like
true.
The mechanics of his shot were much more in place than Dwight Howard.
I
all he did
that.
Was dunk.
What's up, D-Cell?
Let me give you a hypothetical for tonight's game, Clippers-Lakers. Mm. Competitive game, not a nail-biter, seven-point game.
Okay.
The story tomorrow is that the Clippers won or that the Lakers lost?
Lakers lost.
Yeah.
Exactly.
100%.
So do you think in any way they get any sort of grace period?
No. That's why when he said 33%, like a third of the season, I'm like, you're nuts.
I think last year was the grace period. I don't think there's one game of grace period.
There might not be. Uber analyzed and uber criticized. It's coming. And the crazy thing about, I agree with that. And the crazy thing about this is that.
Problem is I can't look at this roster and be like, yeah, you guys should win.
Yeah, but you're looking at it rationally. We're talking about people who are just going to lose their minds because LeBron's 3-4 AD.
I hope the people writing the headline are rational, you know, journalists. No,
they
gotta
get
journalists. I mean, come on.
Rationality doesn't sell.
Well, we'll come here. We'll give you some rationality. We'll tell you what's up because with Jared
irrational.
Dudley coming off the bench, you know.
Jared Dudley.
What are you to be excited about?
I don't know. But the crazy thing, too, no matter what Anthony Davis does, I mean, he's going to escape criticism. Like, this is going to be all, like, you'll eventually get to Anthony Davis if there's criticism to
unless he gets hurt again.
That's true.
Unless he gets hurt.
That's very fair. I would agree with that. But if he's playing and he's, you know, playing pretty well and the numbers are there and there's not much of a drop off from what he did with the Pelicans and they're just meandering their way through the first couple of weeks, we'll just gloss over him and people will crush LeBron.
Yeah. Well, because
it is what it
because
is.
LeBron is being positioned as like I'm at this, you know, edge part of my career, meaning the back edge of my career, I'm reinventing myself as a point guard. I'm going to be Magic, but better than Magic because I can shoot and like all these other things. And if he's not, and he's just like bad, then he's certainly going to get criticized because, I mean, who does that? Who reinvents himself at 35, 36 years old?
At 35?
You know what I mean? So I don't know.
I mean, well, the NBA is really the only sport you could do it.
You're right.
You're not gonna go like Aaron Judge isn't gonna start dropping down bunts when he's 36.
Nope.
You know when you lose your fastball like CeCe did, you learn how to pitch differently up you know in out up down. But you could do it in the NBA because once you lose a little burst and you can't get around the corner and get to the rim, like Russell Westbrook's gonna have to do that eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually, Russell Westbrook will go from being one of the best athletes on the planet to a little bit of an athletic liability. I mean, it sounds crazy to say he's not there yet. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And if he's still shooting, you know, 18% from downtown, he's going to be terrible.
Can you imagine
what
him not being able to be a jump out of the gym? I can't imagine his game, Russell Westbrook.
No,
when he can't jump out of the gym.
What's the comp? I mean, give me an athlete in the NBA like a great athlete. Not a big man, you know, a point
you know
guard
what?
Or two guard.
Yeah, I'll give you one,
yeah.
But it was temporary because of his injury. Mm. Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose went from MVP to I can't stay healthy, so therefore I'm not as athletic. It was kind of like, all right, you're good.
Yeah, yeah.
But
he had multiple injuries. He never really had a chance
to
recreate himself.
That's what I mean, but he was diminished. Like the diminished great athlete looked like Derrick Rose for that, whatever it was, two or three years where he was just kind of in no man's land.
Oh, yeah.
And he lost it emotionally as well because of that. I don't think Russ goes down that road, but...
No, I don't think. I hope not. I hope he's...
Yeah, I think he's more stable than that, but that's what it'll look like. Like on the court. That's what the on-court product will look like.
An average athlete without a jump shot.
Yeah.
We probably just overthink. We probably could have said that a minute ago.
Right.
An average athlete who can't shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much what you're left with if you rely on burst and you never learn how to shoot. Coming up next, let's get back to this Harbaugh stuff here. So, if you just tuned in, what do you know? Jim Harbaugh's people kind of rustling through the weeds, seeing if anybody in the NFL is interested for their client. Would Jim Harbaugh still be a big-time asset in the NFL? And could he jump? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.